This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. We teach what the Bible tells us are the best ways to handle money. So the end result being you become debt free. Doesn't matter how small or how large the debt may be. We have a 9-week small group study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way that take you through the biblical principles leading to a debt-free life. You can learn more at compasscatholic.org. Browse around our website, see how we can help you. Or you can specifically look at that 9-week study. Just click on Books and Studies. Again, it's Navigating Your Finances God's Way. My name is Steve Holbrook, and John Bean, who was the co-founder, along with his wife, Evelyn, of Compass Catholic Ministries. We want to take you through an investment strategy that's gaining a lot of popularity around the U.S. Now, the common name is SRI, or Socially Responsible Investing. It's also known as BRI, Biblically Responsible Investing, or Faith Consistent Investing. So, John, first, let's describe the meaning of BRI or SRI.
A socially responsible investment is based on the nature of the business that a company conducts. And common themes for socially responsible investments, and that's a mouthful, so I'm going to talk about SRI. I'm not going to say socially responsible investments every time. SRI investments, the themes for them would include avoiding companies or investments that produce or sell addictive substances like alcohol or gambling or tobacco. It's all about seeking out companies that are engaged in social justice or environmentally sustaining products, you know, environmental sustainability, alternative energy, clean technology efforts. You can do SRI investment in individual companies or through socially conscious mutual funds or exchange traded funds, ETFs. But, you know, I think that people will say, why are we doing this? And if you go to the Catechism and you go to paragraph 1926, it tells us that the dignity of the human person requires the pursuit of the common good. Everyone should be concerned to create and support institutions that improve the conditions of human life.
Now, John, to start the show, I made mention of the fact that this type of strategy is becoming very popular. But is it something that's brand new? Did it start in 2015?
Actually, no. There was a couple of mutual funds that were started back in the 1940s. Actually, I think the mutual funds were actually started pre-Depression. And they gradually adopted a policy in the 40s that said that they would avoid businesses that deal in alcohol, gambling, and tobacco products. No, it's not new, but there wasn't a lot of, I mean, people didn't jump on the bandwagon in 1950 and say, Yahoo, we're going to go for this, because, you know, it just didn't happen.
But is this something financial advisors have been aware of, but they just never brought them forward until you asked about them?
Yeah, the problem is that, you know, the mantra of a financial consultant, you know, somebody who's going to invest your money for you, it's all about return, return, return.
That's how we judge them, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's how they get judged. Mm-hmm. That's what we want. That's why we're going to somebody and paying them to watch over the money that we want to invest, because we want to get even better returns than what we might be able to do on our own. Plus, most people don't want to spend the amount of time that's necessary to research all right. The companies and stuff like that. And it's really a difficult thing. So these guys for years and years and years have been all about, how can I get the highest rate of return? Can I get, you know, 2 points over what the index is? Can I get 4 points or 5 points over the index? You know, how can I at least equal the index? And in the early days, the companies that they were avoiding produce good results. Alcohol, tobacco, gambling, those are high profit companies. Mm-hmm. And so they get good results. And so they were not too willing to avoid those companies. And now, over the last 5 to 10 years, with the push towards being environmentally conscious, I guess is the best way to put it, people are more focused on those kinds of companies, and those kinds of companies are producing better returns. And so today, in the market, there is just maybe not even a negligible differential between socially conscious companies and their rate of return and a typical company and its rate of return. And of course, every company's rate of return is different. It's
right.
It's a hodgepodge. But
I became aware of socially responsible investing when our son graduated college, and he got his first job, and he wanted to start saving. And we talked to him about save now for retirement, blah, 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 blah. But his thing was, I only want to invest in socially responsible funds,
yes,
which I never knew they existed. And he even admitted, I'm not going to earn as much as you, but that's okay.
Well, and I think that if you talk to millennials, which your son qualifies mm-hmm. as, they have a greater awareness of being socially responsible than, say, the boomer generation, or even more difference than our parents' generation, beyond the boomer. I don't even know what they called them. I don't know if there's a name for them. They're
old-timers.
So old now.
Yeah. Old-timers.
It's interesting that while there's several formal organizations that advocate SRI, they're pretty much all faith-based organizations.
Okay.
So that should tell you something. And maybe the biggest one is the Interfaith Center of Corporate Responsibility, ICCR. It was actually founded back in the 60s. And again, it goes back to companies that were producing tobacco. There was a huge issue with infant formula that was being sold to mothers in the developing world. And I think there was a problem with making a profit off of what we should have been giving them, okay, because they needed that formula. Another one in the 60s that we're familiar with, is Agent Orange. Just unbelievable debilitatory ramifications of using that type of a chemical. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops has been active in SRI, and they've actually, in 2003, created a church policy that says how they will handle church funds and suggestions on how we as the laity of the church should consider the things we should consider when we are investing. The first principle is that the conference should exercise responsible financial stewardship over its economic resources. Well, that doesn't take a brain surgeon
right.
to figure out, okay? Mm-hmm. And the next point on that is they should get a reasonable rate of return on the investments. Again,
okay.
This is not...
Everyone wants that.
Yeah. Principle number two is that the conference should exercise ethical and social stewardship in its investment policy. And so now it begins to deviate away from, probably normal thinking with of a layperson.
Right. This narrows down the scope of where your money is going to be placed.
Yeah. And so what they're focused on here is how can we involve our investment strategies to be based on Catholic moral principles. Strategies that are based on moral demands posed by the virtues and of prudence and justice. Prudence and justice, typically Catholic descriptors, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm.
So the primary strategies of the USCCB is number one, do no evil. Okay, refuse to invest in companies whose products or policies are counter to the values of Catholic moral teaching. So it comes back to, that list that we've already talked about: tobacco, alcohol, gambling, human trafficking, all that kind of stuff.
But I want to repeat something you said a few minutes ago. Just because you're investing in these kind of funds does not mean that you're going to get such a small rate of return. As you said, There's a lot of funds out there that are based on socially responsible ideals, still getting the same kind of return as you and I did if we did a broad-based investment in a mutual fund.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was talking to an investment advisor. He's a good friend of ours, lives in Tennessee, and he is doing some SRI investing for his clients. And there was a very, very large client, or company, that everybody that's listening to this program would know who they are, would know where they're located. And in fact, they actually had some Super Bowl ads, okay? Mm-hmm. That's how big, you know, they are actually investing in Planned Parenthood. And he was going to have this company included in his socially responsible investments. And he was doing the research, and all of a sudden a flag came up. And they're investing in Planned Parenthood and the pro-abortion aspects of Planned Parenthood. And that took them totally out of the running. And it was I was shocked when he told me who it was. I think most people would be shocked. And, it's just, you really have to do your homework when you're in.
Yes, you do.
You want to make sure that you're investing with SRI principles. The do no evil, when you find that you've been investing in a company like this, or maybe they change their practices, and so they start making donations to somebody that's not one that you would want to support, then the valid thing for the laity or for the church, for the conference, anybody that's involved in SRI would be to divest your holdings in that company. Take them out, sell that stock, sell those mutual funds, and put it someplace else where you know that it's going to be appropriate. Mm-hmm. The next step is to be active in the corporate participation. In other words, exercise normal corporate responsibilities with regards to company actions and votes. That just makes reasonable sense.
This is Manager Monty Godsway. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, offering you assistance in removing the debt that you currently have, no matter if the debt is small or large. Go to compasscatholic.org and check out our ministry and learn more how we can assist you in getting rid of that debt. Well, today we are discussing socially responsible investing. And John, you've been running through the strategy of the USCCB, which is the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. That first strategy or principle is the conference should exercise responsible financial stewardship over its economic resources. That second strategy is the conference should exercise ethical and social stewardship in its investment policy. So, John, let's get into that third principle, that third strategy from the USCCB.
That third primary strategy is to promote the common good. In other words, we should be supporting the policies and initiatives that promote the values of Catholic moral and social teaching. We should support investments that promote community development. There might be a slight, we've talked about how the rate of return is actually pretty much equal. When you get into community development, you may have some slightly lower returns. They're important because they give expression to the church's preferential option for the poor and the need to produce some truly significant social gain. So that's an extremely important aspect of what SRI is all about.
So, John, before you go see a financial advisor, are there other ways of finding out what are those funds that are socially responsible?
There are several software programs. I've been exposed to a couple different ones that just go through the records of a company. Anything that they've published, their board meetings, the minutes. They are looking at any time a corporation spends money or gives money on anything, they analyze that. That kind of research is almost impossible for you or me to do.
Extremely time consuming.
We don't have the time. We don't have the resources to find all that stuff. But through the technology, they're able to do that. And so I think it's best, while you might have a sense, I think you got to, more than knowing what the companies are, you know, it's important to know what is in your heart and why you're doing this, and are you firmly, you know, fixed in your expression of need to do SRI investing.
John, I just heard you go through the USCCB's strategy, and it's nice. It's great that they're really looking out for this, but how does that apply to me? Just average Joe?
Well, think about all of the issues that are the hot buttons in today's society. There's pro-life issues, there's climate change, human trafficking is huge, sustainability, handguns, gender equality, racial diversity. All of these things are potential things that SRI would be investing in.
Okay.
Boomers kind of understand these issues. The boomer generation may be very much aware of how these issues, what they are and how they work. But we also understand that calls for boycotts and divestment, they gather a lot of headlines. You know, we can be much more effective by investing based on the issues. So don't try to shut somebody down. Just don't give them any money.
Right. Okay.
Okay. That's the more important thing. And the business world is extremely responsive to the ebb and flow of money. Money still talks. You know, as a nation full of investors, we can make a difference. Now, there are, as I said, investment firms that cater to religiously committed clients, and that's a good thing, I think. I mean, the firm that Evelyn and I use, very much working with a lot of religiously committed clients. A lot of these issues don't necessarily fall under religious values or guidelines. And the secular world is concerned with a lot of these issues also. So there's a great overlap between a religious organization and what they want to promote, and a secular organization who wants to be moral and just in the way they handle their investments.
I just never think about a religious strategy or a religious issue and secular issue overlapping. But when you say that, and I can think of five, just popped into my head.
Yeah.
Where there
yeah.
is overlap. Yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely. I think the big thing is, and one of the things that is important about this this program and this conversation, is what can we do to support SRI, socially responsible investing? You know, we could screen for what might be called sin stocks. They've had that name before. I'm not sure I like that name. You know, you identify companies that produce goods and services that are objectionable, like tobacco, like abortion. You know, those are pretty easy to screen for, and many investment advisors can do that easily, and they've been doing that as a matter of practice, depending on, in their interviews with their clients, which way the client is looking and, you know, what makes a difference to them. Another thing that we can do is be active shareholders. You know, as investors, we can use our positions as stockholders, even though individually we might only own major, minor, is that really even a term? Majorly minor.
A small amount of stock.
Stocks, yeah. As a group, we can advocate for change in these companies, in their annual meetings and stuff like that. And then impact investing, you know, we can express our feelings by where we put our money in companies that are already promoting SRI, and, you know, screen out the ones that don't promote SRI and invest in the ones who do.
John, if I am investing in SRI mutual fund stocks, I'm using a financial advisor. Is it still due diligence on my part to make sure that what he is doing for me is the right? I can go in and look just to double check to make sure that fund that I purchased is truly investing in socially responsible companies.
Yeah, you can do it. It's not something that most people are going to do because it's involved. But the answer is yes, we can have an effect. Like I said, boomers look at these companies different than millennials
do,
and that kind of stuff. And, you know, the younger the investor, this is kind of unique. And you know, your story with your son really kind of typifies what's happening around the world. When he came to you and says, yeah, I'm going to invest, but I'm going to do it this way. You think of Warren Buffett. How more staid, traditional, all those kinds of adjectives can you get than Warren Buffett? Mm-hmm. And he makes a lot of money. Well, his grandson actually launched an investment firm 2 years ago that focuses on newly formed and undervalued companies that are working on basic SRI issues.
Really?
Yeah. So here he's got all this stuff that his grandfather has been amassing over the years, tons and tons of money. And he's taken this kind of you could call it a niche market, I guess.
Yes, it is.
He's trying to improve society through the investments that he makes. If you want to be proactive, carefully choose the company that you're using for your investment advice. That doesn't mean that you have to go out and research every single company you're going to invest in, but you're going to have a financial advisor. Choose that person extremely wisely. Understand what they're going to do relative to their screening process, what they're going to screen for, what they're not going to screen for. And after you've interviewed two or three companies like that, then you can make a decision, and you should feel comfortable that, you know, you've taken steps to be socially responsible.
So that's one of the questions as you interview financial advisors, that I guess that would be the top one on your list. Do you handle socially responsible funds?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And just, you know, what is their attitude towards it?
It's when you sit down and talk to them
and listen to questions.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Some of the old investment houses still haven't made that change. Okay.
Because they're thinking about rate of return.
They're still thinking about rate of return. They know that's the side that their bread is buttered on, traditionally, and they don't want to, you know, rock the boat, so to speak. So it's very important to really understand who your advisors are and where they're coming from. SRI is continuing to grow, and every year there's more and more investments that are going on. You know, you look at all the things that are on the front page of the newspapers, pro-life, human trafficking, addictive substances, green issues. But, you know, there's also things like the third world infrastructure projects, roads, clean water, schools. These are important issues in developing nations. And we've actually seen the results of what can happen with clean water in our own parish as we've been able to provide clean water
in Haiti.
So it's really important. If you go back to the Catechism, paragraph 1916 tells us that, as with any ethical obligation, the participation of all in realizing a common good calls for a continually renewed conversion of the social partners. So it calls us to be involved, to be continually growing in our understanding and attitude towards these types of things. And the Catechism for Adults tells us that our gospel commitment to Christ's kingdom of love, justice, and mercy always includes advocating and supporting fairness for all. God calls us to form community and to correct both the symptoms and the causes of injustice that rip apart the solidarity of a community. Through SRI, we can affect change to the social justice issues of our modern culture.
Very informative show today. John, thank you so much. Now, if you missed any of today's show, you can go to compasscatholic.org. Scroll down to Compass on the Radio, and you can download today's show. Share it with a friend, a family member. Share it with your children. Educate them on socially responsible investing. We also have included a show summary that includes the bullet points from today's program and any websites that we may have referenced. Now, before we leave today, John and Evelyn were able to answer a question earlier in the week from one of our listeners, and this one is about summer camp. Well, here it is, February, and they are planning ahead. John and Evelyn, we're trying to plan ahead and budget for the kids' summer camp, and I'm wondering, is summer camp tax deductible as child care?
Summer camp may qualify for a tax credit. And parents who work or are looking to work and use child care for the kids under 13 years of age can find that child care expenses in an approved center can be deductible, but expenses for overnight camps typically don't qualify.
And you can find out more about that just by Googling IRS 503, which takes you to a site called Child and Dependent Care Expenses. So that'll tell you it's legally tax deductible.
Yeah, and whether it is or not.
Great to see the parents planning ahead. Here it is February, and they're thinking summer camp already. If you have a question, maybe two questions or three for John and Evelyn, they'd love to help. Simply send your questions to askask@compasscatholic.org. That's ask@compasscatholic.org. Thank you so much for listening. We post a brand new podcast each and every Wednesday morning. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, and we are from Compass Catholic. Remember, that's compasscatholic.org.